Next case, United States v. Bavender. Appellant ready to argue?
Yes, Your Honor.
Government?
Yes, Your Honor.
Appellant may argue.
Morning, Chief Judge Stuckey, members of the court. May it please the court. My name is Major Benjamin DeYoung, and I, along with my co-counsel, Lieutenant Colonel Todd Faniff, represent the appellant in this case, Staff Sergeant Jared Bavender. Chief Judge Stuckey, with your permission, I'd like to reserve 4 minutes of rebuttal.
Granted.
Your Honors, the military judge in this case erred in at least 3 ways. First, the military judge erred in determining that the affidavit on its face supported probable cause to search appellant's electronic devices for child pornography. Second, the military judge erred in failing to consider whether there were knowing or reckless omissions in the search warrant affidavit, and in failing to make findings of fact or conclusions of law regarding the materiality of those omissions. And third, even if those omissions or those omitted material facts were added back into the affidavit as required in the analysis under U.S. v. Mason, the affidavit would clearly not support probable cause to search appellant's electronic devices. And finally, the CCA, the Air Force Court, exacerbated those failings in not finding an abuse of discretion. Now, starting with the affidavit as drafted and whether on its face it supported probable cause. Your Honors, quite simply, nothing in that affidavit described child pornography. None of the images described in that affidavit described child pornography. Only one image was even described, and that was really for the purpose of establishing that there was a minor that was viewed. The appellant doesn't contest that there was information in the affidavit to establish that he viewed images of minors.
Counsel, this is kind of an instructional case, the lesson of which seems to be stay away from self-help gatherings. Okay, the accused gets up, says, Pahkavi, Pahkavi, I have sinned, publicly. And rambles on about pornography and children and all kinds of stuff. Then he goes to the OSI, and he says, well, I'm a pornography and masturbation addict. I'm a hebephile. An interesting construction. My sexual template goes down to 13-year-old girls. Ba-da-ba-ba-da. On and on and on. And then, how isn't that enough for probable cause to search his electronic gear?
Well, first, Your Honor, a lot of what you've described was not in the affidavit to begin with. Now,
well, no, the public confession wasn't in the affidavit, of course, but it's what triggered the whole thing.
Yes, Your Honor. No, I mean, we don't contest that clearly he had a crisis of conscience in his own subjective mind, that he had been struggling with, as he describes it himself, a legal pornography addiction for 7 years, but none of that's criminal.
When you say a legal pornography addiction, I mean, your point is that, as I understand it, is that the agent involved here went from confessions about nudist websites to that were actually made by the accused to the term child pornography in the affidavit.
Yes, Your Honor.
However, what we know in terms of what appellant actually said to OSI was many of the things that the chief judge is talking about in terms of his focus on girls down to the age of 13. We have him saying that, quote, he knew without a shadow of a doubt, this is his own words, that he viewed underage porn and that he downloaded it to his computer. this is not a babe in the woods. This is not some 17-year-old new recruit who has had a very sheltered life and who has seen a woman's breasts. This is a 30-year-old who is telling OSI that he has this addiction, that he had 2 months of inpatient treatment for it. He's got all these technical terms about the Coolidge effect and all this. And he is saying things such as, I look for, quote, young teenage porn. He's saying that what he characterized as, quote, illegal pornography. And then at one point he says, holy shit, that's not legal in his own mind. And then he clicked on the image. Why isn't the chief judge's point exactly right? All we have to have here is a reasonable belief. We're not talking about legal sufficiency for a conviction. We're only looking at, was there probable cause for a search warrant?
Your Honor, the label that the appellant put on these images when he describes them as illegal or pornographic is really not material, and that's a determination to be made by the magistrate, whether, in fact, we're dealing with a criminal offense.
All he's got to go on is what the accused says. And the accused says, I'm addicted to this stuff. I'm looking at underage girls. And what you're saying, I think, is that the legal label he puts on it may, in fact, be something else. But that's not the point, is it? The point is, is there probable cause? And how can there not be probable cause when he's blabbing on to the OSI about all this stuff? You know, we can, you know, again, we can get into the legal sufficiency of it later. I don't think this is a case about child erotica versus child porn. That's an interesting issue, but given this overlay, I don't think it's this case.
Your Honor, Illinois v. Gates establishes that when it's determining probable cause...
Could you speak a little more into the mic?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thanks.
Illinois v. Gates establishes that when determining probable cause, you need to look at the totality of the circumstances, and there must be sufficient information presented to the magistrate to allow that official to make that probable cause determination and not simply ratify the conclusions of others. And the conclusions of others, whether that be the affiant, the agent here, or even the appellant, those are his conclusions, that these are child pornography. And to just put that label on it in the affidavit without any further context, which I think brings me to my second point, the omissions, this magistrate was not put in a position to make that determination.
But backing up for a minute, when you say put it in context, what citation of legal authority do you have that says that in a scenario such as this, that there has to be this detailed rendition of precise wording that was used by an accused in the affidavit?
Well, Your Honor, appellant is cited to at least three federal cases that support the notion that law enforcement must provide, at the minimum, a detailed description of the images where there's no actual image to attach to the affidavit or at least some sort of exemplar to provide.
Are those cases where the information is coming right from the suspect, though?
No, Your Honor. None of those three cases cited involve a situation where the suspect walked in off the street and you know, provided that information, or where the primary information is coming only from the suspect. But I think that's important here as well, is that the only information that law enforcement has is from the appellant. So to cherry-pick certain portions of his statements while discounting others...
Let me ask you this, Major. When the accused, or when the appellant is speaking in his interview to the agents, are they, and he's describing these, that what he looked at was these nudist websites. Is he talking about his most recent foray, this six-day binge that I guess was 2 weeks before the interview? Or is he talking about that that's what he looked for through this five-year period?
Your Honor, I think the fair and accurate reading of the transcript of that interview is that he's talking about this entire five-year period since he began looking at what he has labeled as illegal images of children.
But couldn't the, wouldn't it be reasonable, or let me ask you this, is it unreasonable for the investigator and then subsequently the magistrate to, well, let's focus on the investigator. Is it unreasonable for the investigator to look at that as simply the accused trying, or the suspect trying to minimize his conduct? In other words, it goes back to Judge Olson's point earlier. The investigator is speaking with someone who has told them that he is a ardent and habitual consumer of pornography. So he knows what pornography is. To then say, I was only looking at nudist websites, given the search terms, is it reasonable for them to conclude, hey, wait a minute, we don't believe that. We don't believe using these search terms over a five-year period would yield the images that he was seeking. So they would have, and there's no requirement that, as I knew of, that the investigators put in self-serving statements into the affidavit. Is all that unreasonable on the part of the investigator?
In the totality, Your Honor, yes, I do believe that is unreasonable, because when you read the transcript of that interview, it's clear that the appellant is not making distinctions between what he is labeling as illegal child images and adult images. Although when you press him on it, which OSI did time and again, clearly these agents know the definition, right? They're trying to get him to describe any sort of sexual acts, any sort of, you know, touching, lewd and lascivious focus of the image. And he is clear time and again that any sort of sexual acts, that's adults, right? And where I saw images of children was on these newest websites.
For the previous five years?
Their questioning is not limited to the most recent incident, so I can only, I think the accurate reading of his answer is limited to the entire period.
Let me go somewhere else right quickly here. I'm looking at the military judge's findings, and you may not have them in front of you, and if that's okay, you can come back on rebuttal and answer this question. But I'm looking at the military judge's findings of fact. And under paragraph 2, there are two sentences near the bottom part. And it says that the accused stated some of the images did not depict sexual acts. Well, that would suggest or leave open the possibility that some of the images did depict sexual acts. Was there any support for that in the record?
There is no support for that on the record, and there are several misstatements that, if you'd like to turn to the
judge's ruling. Well, let me go to the next sentence.
Yes, sir.
And ask you kind of the same thing here. It says the accused, the following sentence, says the accused stated sex acts were depicted in the videos he viewed. Now, I noticed that you did not question this specific finding of fact or allege that it is clearly erroneous. So I'm wondering, at the trial, did everyone think that that last sentence I just read to you pertained to the adult pornography, or what? Because when we read this, the sentence before talks about child pornography, the sentence afterwards talks about child pornography, and this statement by the military judge that the accused stated sex acts were depicted in videos he viewed sounds like that's pertaining to child pornography. But I noticed that no one raised it, and I noticed that you have not challenged that particular finding of fact.
Well, Your Honor, I do
challenge. Does everybody know something that I don't know, or what?
No, Your Honor, I do challenge that finding of fact, and I agree that the way it's laid out is very misleading, and the trial judge failed to distinguish that if he's being accurate for what happened in that interview, that he should have added the word the accused stated sex acts were depicted in videos he viewed of adults.
I might be mistaken, but you said you did challenge that in your brief?
No, Your Honor. Okay. I did not specifically address that sentence, but I would challenge it now and say that at least as written in context, it is misleading.
But that's a pretty significant finding, is it not?
It is, Your Honor.
And if the judge is not clearly erroneous on that, that's fairly dispositive, would you say?
Yes, Your Honor. And, again, he misquotes the record in other places, two lines below that.
Well, let me ask you this. What does that mean when the judge makes a finding like this and it's not challenged as clearly erroneous? Is the appellate court supposed to on its own do a de novo review and decide whether or not this finding has support in the record? And I'm actually genuinely asking because I don't know.
Your Honor, again, although not specifically cited in our briefs, I think it's raised that the trial judge failed to make findings of fact and conclusions of law on these omissions, and to the extent that what is listed in the finding of facts is inaccurate from the record and from the transcript, we would ask that you consider that.
Okay. And then finally, and then I'll get off of my chair here. Finally, if you claim that if, or allege, or your position is, that if the information that the appellant gave about the fact that he was mischaracterizing the images he saw because he was describing only images he saw at these nudist sites, you're saying that in totality, if the magistrate had been presented with that information, that it would have vitiated the probable cause, that determination that the magistrate made. Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor. And I would cite generally to the Ninth Circuit Court of Criminal Appeals, which we supplemented in our argument in U.S. v. Perkins for that sort of analysis.
If it was in there, if it had been included, would the magistrate been required to credit it?
He would have been required to at least consider it, and he would have been in a position to consider it. I think that's the real issue here. The magistrate was simply not even in a position to consider all the facts, the totality of the circumstances available at the time. And at that point, he can make a determination. But I think the determination at that point that would have been appropriate is that there was not probable cause because all of these images clearly did not depict either sexual acts or lewd and lascivious, you know, displays.
Okay. Thank you, Chief Judge.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for the government.
Good morning, Chief Judge Stuckey and members of the court. May it please the court. My name is Major Dale Perkle, and along with Ms. Mary Ellen Payne, we represent the United States in this case. The military judge did not abuse his discretion when he denied appellant's motion to suppress the images of child pornography found on appellant's electronic devices, evidence which was lawfully obtained through a valid search warrant clearly based on probable cause. At trial, appellant articulated the basis for his request of suppression was a lack of probable cause and confined the evidence he presented at the hearing to that which is detailed under Military Rule of Evidence 311D4A. Appellant failed to properly preserve the additional theory of suppression he now raises on appeal under MRE 311D4B related to material omissions.
Could you speak up, counsel?
Yes, Your Honor.
I'm having trouble understanding you.
However, even if this objection was particularized at trial, it is clear appellant has not met his burden to warrant relief, as adding the omitted description of a young teenage girl looking at a young boy's exposed genitalia only bolsters the previous finding of probable cause.
Counsel, how do you answer the appellant's contention that, what's a magistrate supposed to do in assessing probable cause? The appellant seems to be saying, well, all a magistrate did was take the accused's summation of the quality of this stuff at face value. What's a magistrate supposed to do? He's got that in front of him. How deep is a magistrate supposed to probe in assessing probable cause?
Well, Your Honor, it would be a different case if all the magistrate had in front of him was a singular statement that the accused admitted to viewing child pornography. That is not this case. The totality of the circumstances in the affidavit were more than just the face value assertion of appellant that he viewed child pornography.
You mean the length of the addiction, the hebephiliac addiction stretching over a long time, the admitted masturbatory actions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Is that what you're referring to?
No, Your Honor. With respect to what's particularized in the affidavit, the search terms, from his Google search terms specifically.
The electronic search terms.
Yes, Your Honor. The search terms of young teenage porn and teenage porn and young nude girls, coupled with the accused assertion that he was seeking 13 to 17-year-old teenage porn for his own sexual gratification, and in fact, finding sexual gratification while looking at these images. The length and duration of this habit was contained in the affidavit. The recency of his viewing 2 weeks ago. And what appellant believes is the most benign admission that it was from a nudist website. That was not omitted, but actually contained in the affidavit and considered by the military magistrate along with these other facts. So this is not a case where this court would have to decide if the singular bare-bone assertion of an appellant that he viewed probable cause would, viewed child pornography would in fact.
Can I ask you what I asked good old Major Young over there about what the focus was during this hours-long interview? Is it the government's position that the accused or the appellant was describing his pursuit on these nudist websites over a five-year period, or was he just talking about this most recent foray? And if you don't know, that's okay.
Yes, Your Honor. I don't believe the United States could say for sure one way or the other. I think it's best characterized that it would not be unreasonable for the agent to conclude he is minimizing his conduct or take it at face value. In either way, it would contribute to a finding of probable cause. Mm-hmm. It is important, though, that throughout the interview, appellant does not say he types in Google search terms nudist websites. He says the way he finds these images that he's looking to gratify him sexually is to type in search terms for pornography and take wherever the images take him, to whatever website it is. So he did, at some point in the interview, he says he doesn't even know the websites he's visiting. He's just trying to find these images of 13 to 17-year-old girls in order to gratify his sexual desires.
Counselor, I ask you about the waiver issue. Appellant cites JA-84 in their reply brief, and it's just the first paragraph there, and they've sentenced so many of the substantive descriptions that Staff Sergeant Bavender gave that didn't support a finding of probable cause were not put in the affidavit. And then there's a list of several things that were not put in the affidavit. Does that constitute a particularized objection regarding the omissions?
Your Honor, the United States position is no. And the distinction that we draw here is there's a difference between what a material omission is under 311C in the good faith exception, and what is a material omission under 311 Delta, which is a standalone basis for challenging probable cause. And in this case, and particularly under MRE 311, this court has found it's incredibly important that an appellant particularize the basis for which he is moving for suppression. Now, potentially, those facts could come into play if this court were to get to a good faith analysis, as it found in Perkins. But the idea that there is a requirement that the defense have clairvoyance and that we would not find waiver out of a protection of the defense's ability to anticipate what the government will do is not found under a 311 Delta objection, which is a particularized different objection on the for suppressing evidence. So we...
Counsel, isn't the whole idea of requiring an objection of some sort, at least, is to put the military judge on notice as to what issue or issues that counsel is raising? Isn't that the whole idea, so that the person closest to the evidence in the trial proceedings can make rulings or findings based on that?
Yes, Your Honor, and I'll quote from a case that was quoted by appellant in their brief, United States versus Payne.
I'm familiar with Payne, but
yes,
let me ask
yes,
you,
Your Honor.
Let me ask you this. The fact that the appellant's counsel included the issue of what has been omitted from the affidavit during his argument is not enough to place the judge on notice. Wouldn't most military judges understand that that's part of the issue that he or she is being confronted with?
Well, Your Honor, the United States position is that because the judge was not aware of the specific ground for objection, which the entire context of the motion, including the questions that were asked or not asked of the magistrate and the agent, did not put the judge properly on notice of the issue.
Right, but the judge is a smart guy, I'm assuming.
Yes, Your Honor.
You mean he can't discern from that one of the issues is omission?
Yes, Your Honor, and it's not clear if that omission is relevant to a good faith analysis or if it's relevant to the separate objection under 311D4B.
Right, but he still would have been on notice one way or the other, right?
Well, Your Honor, the United States is not aware of a position that simply stating omissions raises the issue under both 311D4B and the good faith exception under 311C.
All right, thanks.
Yes, Your Honor. The trained law enforcement agent who heard the six-hour confessions of appellant, who read appellant's written confession to viewing child pornography, was entitled to rely on the totality of his statements and her training to come to the conclusion and put in her affidavit an accurate summary of what appellant confessed to, which is viewing child pornography. Viewing these facts in the light most favorable to the government, it is a fair probability that based on what she heard appellant say, there was a reason to believe child pornography would be found on his electronic devices. I'd like to point this court to one specific description by appellant, which is on page 5 of the transcript, where he describes a teenage girl looking down at a little boy, staring obviously at his reproductive organs. That's the most sexual image he saw, appellant said. That description alone, viewed in the light most favorable to the government, describes child pornography, a lascivious exhibition of the genitals, and would then put the agent in a position to accurately say appellant described viewing and downloading child pornography, along with all the other factors we've discussed. And that is a fact that the military magistrate was able to rely on. That same description, if this court does reach the issue of omissions, there need only be one description of alleged child pornography put into the affidavit in order to find, I'm sorry, this particular image, if that one description were put into the affidavit, it would actually bolster a finding of probable cause and not extinguish it. This court should not require that descriptions that come from an appellant rather than from agents who have viewed materials must be included in an affidavit. There is no precedent for that. This court should also not find that simply an admission to viewing nudist websites means there cannot be child pornography on a nudist website. There is no basis in law for that.
Can I ask you what I asked Major Young about the judge's finding of fact? Were you able to follow along during that conversation with him on the military judge's finding in paragraph number 2?
Yes, Your Honor.
What do you have to say about that particular finding, about three sentences that talk about the accused stated that some of the images did not depict sexual acts, leaving open the possibility that some did? And then the next sentence, which talks about the accused stated sex acts were depicted in the videos he viewed. Is the military judge talking about what he perceived as statements made by the accused regarding child pornography?
Well, Your Honor, to begin, we do not believe either of those findings of fact are necessary in finding probable cause in this case. I think it's unclear whether or not the videos that the accused is referring to sex acts in is related to adult or child pornography. I think that is
right.
Is
one of the isn't the issue before the court is whether the military judge abused his discretion?
Yes, Your Honor. There was a statement by the accused when he was pressed at one point if any of the individuals in the video were underage, and he said, to be 100% honest, I'm not sure. And later in the interview, he did describe two of his favorite images, one of which was a girl lying on a bed, and he agreed that this was a pornographic image. And so, taken in light most favorable to the government, it's reasonable to conclude that this is what the judge is talking about, those specific statements of the accused.
So you would say that those particular findings are supported in the record?
Yes, Your Honor. We do not believe they're clearly erroneous. That's right. Correct. And the appellant has failed to cite to any particular erroneous finding of fact by the military judge or conclusion of law in raising his issue before this court. This court should be mindful of the Gates standard that we should take a practical and common sense approach to probable cause. This is not a beyond a reasonable doubt standard or a hyper-technical analysis. This is a factual, practical consideration for everyday life that a reasonably prudent person and not a legal technician. And it is very clear that the four corners of the affidavit presented to the magistrate were not only a fair and accurate representation and summary of the six-hour interview by the accused, but also contained within its four corners a fair probability that evidence of child pornography would be found on appellant's electronic devices. Further, it is not a fair assessment to say that the agent cherry-picked descriptions of these images. As appellant said at argument, in fact, there were no images described specifically in the affidavit. If she had included only one description, the description I've provided for you of the young teenage girl looking at the young boy's genitalia, one could argue she cherry-picked the image that in which the accused described child pornography and excluded what would be potentially exculpatory statements. However, she did not include any of them because she had a reasonable belief that he admitted to viewing child pornography and summarized that in the affidavit.
Appellant's counsel says that if you include appellant's descriptions about what he was viewing vis-a-vis these nudist sites, that that would vitiate or would have vitiated the probable cause determination. In other words, he's saying if you include what the appellant described he was looking at, that would be enough for the magistrate to have decided otherwise.
Yes, Your Honor. And the United States does not believe that is the case.
I assume so.
Yes, Your Honor. So certainly the one description of a young girl looking at a young boy's genitalia in a sexual way is not a description that would eviscerate probable cause for child pornography. The remaining descriptions of young nude individuals contained in a nudist website where the accused sought and found sexual gratification included or excluded in the affidavit would not eviscerate the other information provided to include appellant search terms, preference for, and at best attempt to find child pornography. And when he saw an image that he liked and that he thought to himself, oh shit, that's not legal, he clicked on it anyway, downloaded the image, and continued to try and search for more images along those lines. Those descriptions would not eliminate probable cause, but in fact bolster them. Your Honor, unless there are no other questions, may I briefly conclude?
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you. Your Honor, let's start with the issue of waiver, which was raised by the government here. quite simply, the military judge was on notice that a substantial basis for the motion to exclude this evidence was that the government had omitted important and material information, right? To quote directly from the record, facts were omitted in this case, JA-90, right? The substantive descriptions that Staff Sergeant Bavender gave that didn't support probable cause was not put in the affidavit, JA-84. And I think that's an important point, because certainly if the descriptions he had given were of children engaged in sexual acts, those would have been in the affidavit. So I think it's quite telling that when he gives a different description, those somehow don't make it into the affidavit. And, Your Honors, that is cherry-picking. That's exactly as trial counsel described it. And that's exactly what agents are not allowed to do when presenting a case to a magistrate for a probable cause determination. So I think this issue was preserved. True, the specific subportion of 311D4 wasn't specifically cited, but RCM 311 generally was, and this issue of omissions was raised and preserved. To include the good faith exception, which also encompasses some analysis of whether there were material omissions. So, request that this court review that issue. It was preserved sufficiently at trial.
Counsel, how would you distinguish between what you, and correct me if I misinterpreted you, described as impermissible cherry picking from the responsibility of someone putting together an affidavit to make a coherent explanation and not put down every word that everybody has said? What's the legal principle that distinguishes those two polar thoughts when someone's putting together the affidavit?
Certainly, Your Honor. And in a case where there is all sorts of information, 50 witnesses, you're at conflicting accounts, yes, an agent is forced to summarize that information. But this is not that case where there is just this vast quantity of information that the agents are forced to sift through. And we know that because this agent prepared later a summary, which is in the record and the joint appendix, to go in the report of investigation just a month after preparing the affidavit. And it's relatively short, but it is much more accurate and detailed, 2-3 pages at most. There is no reason that agent couldn't have prepared a similar summary for the affidavit, which articulated the true picture of the state of the evidence at the time.
I understand your description. What's the legal principle that you're applying here that a trial judge should look at when trying to distinguish between the two?
Yes, Your Honor. And the legal principle, another Ninth Circuit case, Hill, which is cited to in Perkins, is just that the totality of the circumstances presented to the magistrate cannot be such that it misleads as to the state of the facts. So, yes, you can parse out relevant and important information, but the information you decide to include can't, in its totality, mislead the magistrate regarding what the information actually is. And the affidavit as presented is misleading regarding what occurred during that interview and what exactly appellant meant when he used that label, illegal images or child pornography. Any further questions?
Thank you, counsel. Court thanks counsel for both sides. Case is now submitted, and court is in recess until 1300.